to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are continuing our series on the Great Commission. And so we're going to kind of do a little revamping of it. And I'm extremely excited about it. This is something that has, not to say plagued me, but I really haven't had clarity on this for maybe 30 years or so. And wow, this is the clearest teaching I've heard on it, and studying that's brought forth the greatest amount of clarity concerning this subject matter ever. And I am extremely excited to share this with you. Very, very excited to share with you. So the title is The Great Commission, A Practical Understanding. That's going to be the full title. A Practical Understanding. Because we've heard a lot of things about what it should be and what, you know, what it might be and all of that. But I think I hadn't had a practical understanding of it until probably and extremely recently. So I'm excited about that. So the Great Commission, A Practical Understanding. So we're going to kind of review and just bring it all together with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The Great Commission is rooted in the book of Genesis. That's no surprise, because the Genesis is the book of beginnings.
Amen.
So that's really no surprise. Genesis chapter 12, looking at verses 1 through 3. And we're going to look at God's original covenant with Abraham, thereby setting up the Great Commission to be spoken out by our Lord and Savior, the Lord of glory, Jesus, the Son of God. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth, listen to that phrasing, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And that's talking about every ethnicity, every people group is going to be blessed. There will not be a people group that will exist on the entire face of the earth that will not be blessed through the lineage of Abraham. All right, so we got that. So that last phrase there, the last part of that covenant, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's God's covenant to Abraham. He's going to bring it to pass when? In the New Testament. Through who? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know you know this, but just don't hurt to hear it again. So are you with me so far? So God has made this covenant to Abraham, and now we're going to see it come to pass, and we're going to see it in the way he's going to bring it to pass. Okay? All right, so let's fast forward to the New Testament, if you will. Let's go to Matthew, right? Matthew's account of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16, reading on down to verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 19. Just giving perspective, as you well know, Jesus has died on the cross. He has been buried. He's risen. And now he's leaving last minute instructions to his disciples. And of course, if you want to get a fullness of that, you can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the first chapter of Acts, and get a full compilation of what all Jesus said after he rose from the dead to his disciples and those who followed him. Okay, so verse 16 begins with, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Jesus, the disciples worshiped Jesus, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to the disciples, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" That's really good news. I'm completely in charge. And that's something we need to keep hearing to encourage ourselves when we see the craziness of the world. You say, no, he is still completely in charge. You know, we use the phrasing, unless Jesus is falling off the throne, it's all good. But when he falls off, we're in trouble. Then you panic. Straight to the liquor store, try to get as drunk as you can to numb yourself, and then walk out in front of a car so you don't feel it. Okay, that's about all you got left. But thank God, Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
Jesus is still Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he still has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, letting his disciples, remember we said that Jesus, by him being the ultimate master, what is the Greek word for master? Remember? Kurios. Q-U-R-I-O-S. Meaning sovereign, ruler, master. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I'm in charge. Verse 19, as a result of me being in charge, I'm commanding you, because I have the ability to do so, to go. See, therefore, go as a result of me being in complete control, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age when I return. This age ends when I come back. Four things. Verse 19, go. Two, make disciples of all nations. Three, baptizing them in the Father and the Holy Spirit. And four, teaching them. Sure. So verse 19 says go. That's the first one. Then verse 19 also says make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. Then verse 19 also says baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's three. Go, make disciples, baptize. And then verse 20 says teaching them to observe. So teaching. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. To observe all that I commanded you. And lo, and here's a promise of security. Lo, behold, I am with you always. Remember, we talked about that. The literal, actual presence of Jesus is there. He's not there symbolically. He's not just there down in my heart, as the old song says. I got the love of Jesus down in the love, but talking about Jesus being in my heart. He's there. His presence is there. His physical body is in heaven, seated at the right hand, but his literal presence is here. And I think we really need to meditate on that, because all that is good news. We talked about Jesus having the authority to send them. Remember, we went over to John chapter 20. Remember that? John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you," talking about his disciples. "As the Father has sent me," remember that? That means Jesus is the ultimate, what? Everybody remember? Apostle. Because apostle is one sent by God. So Jesus, as the Father sent me, so Jesus is the supreme apostle, not Paul or Peter or anyone else. He says, "So as the Father sent me, I am sending you." So Jesus has the authority to send his disciples. And when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So when Jesus here in Matthew is sending them, he is acting or exercising his sovereign apostolic authority. Does that make sense? And that is for us today. Okay, so here's where we're going to kind of deviate from what we did last week. We want to kind of go over some definitions, because things that appear to be just obvious may not necessarily be obvious. So this is maybe a little obvious. So the first question I'm going to ask is, what does go mean? Jesus said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you to do. And I'm going to be with you when you do all this. What does go mean? Very simply, I put this down. It means to leave, comma, to exit the church building. Go beyond the walls of the church building and go outside into the world. Now that's simple, but that needs to be stated. It means to leave the church building. Leave your immediate, in a sense. And go outside into the world. Now that seems real simplistic, but it is necessary. Now, someone say, okay, I hear you, they're going to go out here. Where do I go out there? Second question, where are we to go? Jesus said, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Well, in there, that command is not necessarily where to go. We do find a little bit of that answer, a little bit more about going and where to go in Acts chapter 1. So let's go there. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And I may rephrase that, not necessarily go or leave out the church. I guess leave out your own world, your own self, because really the ministry, as we talked about, you know, like dropping a pebble in a pond, and then the first ripple, and the second, and then the third. And remember, that first ripple is to the congregation. As at Word of Life, remember, to our mission, we'll go over that again in a second. Our first mission is to the folks at Word of Life, then ancient surrounding area, then the state of Michigan, then the United States, and then the world at large. So, in a sense, I guess you're going to need to get outside yourself, really. Get outside yourself. Don't be so locked in that you're not ministering to know anyone. So where are we to go? So look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Again, this is more of last minute instruction. This is the last of the last instruction before Jesus is ascended upon high. Verse 6, so when the disciples had come together, they were asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? They still are waiting. Jesus said to them, it is not for you, my disciples, to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own, and I'm going to add sovereign authority. But you, my disciples, will receive power. Now, this is what pertains to you. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in, now this is where we're to go, Jerusalem. Now, we to go to Jerusalem. We'll explain all this in a minute. Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So, Jerusalem is what? Local. Okay? So, when that pond hits, the first ripple is Jerusalem. That's local. That's and in our case, that would be the church congregation here at Word of Life. That would be the first thing. Then Inkster and surrounding areas. then Michigan, U.S., uttermost parts of Europe. So for them it was Jerusalem, Judea, the region of Judea, Samaria, yes, even Samaria, complete outside of their thing, and then the utmost parts of the earth. So in, if you put the go from Matthew 28:19 with Jesus saying you're going to be my witnesses, you put them together, you get an idea of where you are to go. So we're going to get more specific than that, but it's kind of general. It's kind of general. The work of Apostle Paul, we said last week, is what took the gospel to the Mediterranean region, the entire Mediterranean region of that day. And that's to places like Asia Minor, Turkey, Greece, Athens, and to Rome. So he was out there. The Lord just worked on him. He was one to do that. Now, everybody wasn't supposed to do that, but he was, to take it that far. And in taking it to Jerusalem, the region of Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, aren't we seeing the fulfillment of the covenant between God and Abraham about having all the families be blessed through his loins? Because isn't receiving that gospel a blessing?
Amen.
Yeah. So you look at Matthew 28 and you look at Acts here, verse 8, you're seeing a fulfillment of the covenant that God promised to Abraham. And just a reminder here about our mission here at Word of Life as a church, it is first to you, the congregation, to the surrounding areas, to then the state of Michigan, to the United States, and then the uttermost parts of the world. In that, and in that order, because you all come first. All efforts are to be here first. And then we go out abroad. Now, for an individual Christian, now this is as a church as a whole, Word of Life, but as an individual Christian, it's just a touch different, because there, your mission is first to your family. And then to your church. Then to your neighborhood. Surrounding community. Then the state of Michigan, U.S., and the rest of the world. So it's first to your family. If you are married with children, then it's first to your wife and children, or your husband and children. It's first within the family. If you're not married, then it's to your evangelized family around you. Brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties. Then to your church. And the Lord can work on whether church here, neighborhood. I mean, you're going, if you're living in there, you should be affecting as the Lord leads you, just nothing but by godly lifestyle. Then the surrounding communities, state of Michigan, United States, and then to the rest of the world in that order. And remember, I'm reminding you, Jesus never traveled no more than how many miles from his birthplace? 100 miles.
I wonder why his ministry was so localized.
Yeah, but that's because the Lord gave it to him. That was it. That was his assignment. His ministry was to be a particular focus. And what does that tell us? Some of our ministries are going to be narrow. And that's okay. Just obey God. So God gave him a specific, narrow focus of a ministry. 100 miles. And he pretty much stayed in the state of Israel, and which was no bigger than what state, you remember?
Maryland.
Very good. No bigger than Maryland. Jesus spent his entire life inside that tiny country. Why? Because God gave him an assignment that was narrow and specific. And that's why I want to encourage you all, do not feel bad if you aren't called to Africa and do spectacular things and see 5 million natives come to the Lord. And you hear, and you barely, your nephew won't even hear what you got to say. That's why this is going to help me out. You know, these spectacular things and, you know, all of it's of God. If God is doing all of it's of God. That's the case then. If going big is of God and going small isn't, then Jesus was a failure. Because he only went 100 miles. Some of us travel that in a day. So, where are we to go? Really depends, but it may be local, maybe more regional, maybe more national or international. Who? So we talked about what does go mean. We talked about where are we to go. How about who is to go? Who exactly is supposed to go? We went over this last week, but in the context. Some have claimed that when Jesus said that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he was only speaking to his disciples, and they're the only ones who are supposed to go. Well, we found out that was a daunting task to take 11 men to take the gospel to the entire world. That's not what that was supposed to be. Jesus didn't do it. The disciples certainly didn't do it. And then by him saying, remember a key clue in that command is, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, which means when I return, which means all of them are going to be long dead. So by him extending that, it really validates us as carrying out that commission. No, it just wasn't for just the 12. It was for all of us. We inherited, like how one person said, we inherited this commission from the apostles. And by the way, it was given to the entire church, not just individuals within the church. You got it, but you don't. You're to do it, but you're not. You follow that? That was given to everybody. So everyone who is born again, who's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, has a role to play in the going and the discipling and the baptizing and the teaching. Everyone has a role to play. So who's supposed to go? Everybody. Where? We know, either local, follow that. So you kind of can see how we can piece this together, but you know, you kind of can see what's behind, underlying all of this is you still got to be led. Yeah. Which leads us to the next thing. When are we to go? When are we to go? What does go mean? Where are we supposed to go? Who is supposed to go? When are we to go? Now, here's where I have this doubt. I believe there are, symbolically speaking, two goals. G-O, two goals. One, the general goal that the Lord God gave us, Matthew 28, 8, and 19. Go, therefore, make disciples. So that's the first goal. So that's letting us know everybody is to go some kind of way. Then I have in my notes that there is a second goal. The first goal is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the entire church. You follow me? Go, therefore. The second goal will be a more personalized command from the Holy Spirit directing an individual believer to a particular person, place, or thing. I'm going to say all that again. So the second goal will be a more personalized command from the Holy Spirit, directing the individual believer to a particular person, place, or thing. Now we get specific. You're to go there. See, that's what's going to be personal. Jesus telling us to go, that's the general. Does that make sense? It really helps me out. Just, and see, it's the way it's been kind of taught, at least to me, and you've been blessed not to be in the church. But the way we kind of heard it for 40 years was, Jesus said go, so just go. Where? Who? Oh, you know, so I have in my notes, just because Jesus said to go doesn't mean you ought to just blindly pick up and start wandering wherever because Jesus said to go. No. Look at Romans 8. Romans 8 is not made null and void because Jesus said to go. He doesn't nullify his own word. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Look at Romans 8, 14. You don't throw this out the way. Verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. You still have to be led. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll try to slow down. I'm going to be taking notes. I'm going a little fast. Ephesians 5, 18. And I'll just wait for a minute to kind of catch up. So there's a first, let's recap. There's a first go, given by Jesus to the entire church. General, right? A general go. Well, I know I'm to go, but I don't know where, I don't know who, what, I don't know. But I know I'm to go. That's the first go. It's gonna be a second go, y'all. And if you think about your life, God's directed you to all kinds of people. There's always been a second go. There's always been one. Go here, go there. So that second go is more personalized. And where the Holy Spirit is directing you, because verse 14 of Romans 8, it led by the Spirit of God. Look at Romans 5:18. You know that? Ephesians rather. 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine. Well, that is asotia in the Greek. Unsavedness leads to that which is an unsaved, like a person who's unsaved. Have you do things that are ungodly and so forth. He said, but instead be led, influenced, filled, directed, controlled, dominated by the, and remember in the Greek, it's moment by moment. Moment by moment by moment by moment. By the Spirit. Meaning, technically speaking, word of life, there's never to be a time that we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. So there's two verses that kind of undergird the go. You just don't go. You know that you are to go. But then you're going to receive personal instruction as to a particular person. And I'm really not saying or thing, because you may be led to go to a thing like, some sort of event or something, you know. And there you'll meet. That's the place. And then there's a person there. And we'll get to that actually in Scripture. But believe you me, the Holy Spirit is still to be your guide, not just blindly going out. Because we're still to be filled with the Spirit moment by moment. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 14. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything, I know this is talking about prayer, but I want you to focus on the next four words, according to his will. He hears us. When you're to go according to his will. And if you're going according to, and if you're being led by the Spirit of God, guess what? You're going to be going according to his will. Amen. Because the bottom line is still Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, I'm doing this. Yeah. It's to bring God glory ultimately. Is the light coming on a little bit? You still got to be led. We were really kind of, at least when I was coming, kind of just go. Go bug everybody walking by. And I never have felt that was the right way, but I kind of did it when I was under those particular ministries because I kind of was guilted into doing it. Not realizing Now, I'm not saying he's not going to have you speak to strangers, but still, God is, should still be leading you. And I know this is kind of different from today's evangelical teaching concerning this. They folks are believing you should just go out. Just go out and just talk to everybody moving. Yeah. And that's why I've been guilt-edged on that. And really, the Lord really got me really good today as I'm studying this. He said, you know, you're thinking that you really haven't done anything because you didn't really go out and just talk to strangers and get them saved, have really caused you not to realize what all I have done through you for masses of people over the 30 years you've been saved. And he had to actually show me the people that I run into and talk to in every walk of life. But I've been discounting them because it wasn't the blind, you know, hey man, you know, off the street kind of thing. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I mean, there have been countless of people the Lord has brought me to. Just kind of overlooked it because it wasn't done in that kind of way. We just blindly go out and just start handing out tracts. And, you know, if you didn't do it that way, you know, they kind of like discounted it. And not ever did I run into biblical examples. They're all over scripture, what we're talking about, where the Lord God led Jesus, led Philip, led Peter to individuals. Because God knows whose heart has already been ready.
Amen.
He's going to lead you to hook them up. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When he does tell you, you better get your buns to moving. Because he's not telling you. He's telling you, you know, this is where you to go. It's not a blind thing. That's still going to take faith because you may be, I don't know this person. And I'm not saying he won't have you go to a stranger. You may go to a stranger. But I'm saying, let the Lord give you that second go. If I'm teaching this wrong, I will come back and tell you. I don't think I am. I think I've given you proper scriptural evidence for that. I still think there is a leading of that second go of to where you to go, because the first go, you're not getting any instruction. You know that you are to go, but you don't know where. There are 7 billion people on the planet, and God wants to send you to somewhere. If it is Japan, baby, you better go, you know, konnichiwa all day long. You know, if it's over in Africa, hey, Odabo Jack, you know, do your thing. But let the Lord, don't be guilty into going anywhere. Because unless the Lord build a house, you're going in vain. And so we're to be led by the Spirit of God, because we are sons and daughters of God, and we're to be led by Him. Led means influenced, dominated, filled with the Spirit. He's to influence us. And I believe this is sound teaching. I mean, I got to say that because I've never heard anybody teach it like this. So a peon like me and mama's thinking, nah, I haven't heard it quite like this, but I think scripture bears it out. I think this is solid. There's a second go. Because he knows whose hearts that he's prepared.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean that you know, if you can stand in line at the grocery store and talk about Jesus. You certainly can. Or you can talk to the co-workers about the Lord. You most certainly can. And there may be times you may be wrestling. Do I this? I think it's okay. I mean, it's okay to wrestle with that. Because you're trying to hear God and do God's will, you know, there will come a more of an ease in operating in the things of the Spirit when it comes to quote unquote evangelism, discipleship, and so forth and so on to the Great Commission. Because he knows you want to do his will. But I'm really not a speaker. Now, y'all wasn't either. Sister Sheridan brought everybody up in her family here. I love it. See, I know everybody in the family. But the Lord said, though, she said, the Lord told me back when it first started, it's like a restaurant. When there's good eating, you're going to go and tell everybody about it. Tell them, man, come on, get some of this. And that's what you want. In fact, he told me to focus on feeding and let you all bring it through the bringing in by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the beautiful thing is, anybody she brings in, anybody bring in, that's going to be in her heart and mind. And I was telling Nicole, then the Holy Spirit can work with that because they've heard the truth. And Sunday was harsh. You know, I won't lie to you. When you go talking about abortion and all that, I'm one of the most, and I hit every button on purpose. Every on purpose. Yes, ma'am.
Matter of fact,